And now on BBC Radio 4, the afternoon play, which is called Willow War. The Willow War, if you didn't know, is a sudden, violent cold wind blowing down from mountain passes towards the coast in far northern or southern latitudes, as on the Alaskan coasts. It's also used as a term to describe a state of extreme confusion, turmoil or agitation.
Master Quito! I have come to tell you...
You've no business on deck, Stella. Only crew members are wanted here.
But the ship is heading off course.
I don't need anyone to tell me which way I'm going. Especially a foreigner.
You are steering away from land. If you keep in an east-south-easterly direction, we will soon reach the American continent.
You are not a seaman. Get back to your cabin, or I won't be responsible for what happens to you.
I won't remain silent as long as we're going astray.
I can prove it.
What do I care what you can prove?
Get out of my sight.
I have detected a species of seaweed alongside the ship, which shows that we were on the right course before you single-handedly decided to change it, Kidro.
The Russian Navy does not navigate by seaweed.
Willow War by David Zane Meyerowitz, with Adam Godley as Georg Steller.
In the year 1740, Her Imperial Majesty Empress Anne of Russia mounted a vast expedition across the Pacific under the command of the Danish explorer Vitus Bering to determine how far distant to the east America is from the most extreme northeast borders of Kamchatka in Siberia. On the 4th of June, 1741, we sailed on the St. Peter out of Avacha Bay into the Pacific, with favorable winds and weather. On the 12th of June, in totally calm waters, I suddenly saw many different sea plants, such as Quercus marina, floating around.
The entire sea is overgrown with plants, Dr. Steller. This is no proof of anything.
This may be true of southerly places like Bermuda or Cape Verde, but here, in the north, conditions are different, Captain Bering.
Meaning?
Seawater is not affected in the same way by the sun. It has a different content.
Stella,
I tell
Stella.
You, we are near land, but veering away from it.
North America?
Exactly. You must tell Fleetmaster Kitrov to return to our original course. He's making a terrible mistake.
He's a seaman with 20 years of sailing behind him. You know nothing about such things.
Captain Bering, I'm...
Listen to that.
What?
Just listen. This is something which science and even you can't fathom, Dr. Steller. The Willow War. The strongest wind known on the high seas. A chaotic wind. It has no purpose in nature but to destroy everything in its path. I've known men to jump in the sea rather than face its ferocity. It's trying to kill us while you're talking about seaweed. Be careful. Men like you have been tossed overboard for less.
I'm trying to save us from disaster, Captain.
Your presence on this ship has been imposed on me by the Russian Academy, which is counting on your scientific work to show off in museums. I'm a patient man. Master Kitrov is not. And the Willow War keeps the men on edge and deprives them of goodwill. You may find yourself tangled in your beloved seaweed.
The frequent appearance of sea animals, unusual in the open ocean, was the other basis on which it could be infallibly concluded that we were not far from land. The appearance of the Siberian sea beaver, or rather sea otter, provided still greater proof, because this animal eats solely crustaceans and shellfish, and because of the structure of its heart, cannot stay under water more than 2 minutes without breathing.
Land!
Oh!
Save your breath, Stella.
Captain Bering,
it's a cowardly for me to have to share my cabin with you, Dr. Steller. There's no choice. I cannot just leave you outside in the Willow War. But we are in the middle of an officer's council. If you choose to enter this cabin at this moment, then sit down and hold your tongue.
You don't understand.
No, you don't understand. I am the captain of this ship, and I'm giving you an order. Sit down and be quiet. You were saying, Lieutenant Waxel?
We are near the end of our freshwater supply.
How much longer?
Several weeks.
Food?
Already rationed. We're losing 3 or 4 men a day to scurvy.
An unnecessary loss if you would only listen to me.
But we will not listen to you.
I can treat these men, even though I'm not a physician.
You are not a seaman either, and it is beneath my dignity to receive advice from a man not versed in nautical matters.
The herbs and grasses you need to cure these men are on the American mainland. I have seen them floating in the waves. We could reach those shores in a matter of days.
Captain Baring, I say we put this man in solitary confinement if he continues to disrupt the functioning of the ship.
You are not speaking of some lowly peasant now, Lieutenant Waxel. I am on board this ship at the request of Her Imperial Highness.
What does it take to shut you up?
Death.
My best white rum. What do you suggest, Waxel?
We should have reached the American mainland by now. I think we're looking for something which doesn't exist.
It does exist, but not where you are looking for it.
Why don't you
ignore him? Go on.
I'm for turning back, Captain Baring.
In sight of land?
Good, Waxel. You will continue to steer a nor-nor-easterly course until the 20th of July. If by that time we have not made landfall, we will abandon the attempt to find North America and turn back to Siberia. And you shut up, Stella.
I haven't said a word. But I will now.
I'll be going then.
I insist you stay and hear me out, Lieutenant Waxel.
How much does it take to humiliate you, Stella? You have no idea how you are held in contempt on this ship.
I have seen land.
When?
10 minutes ago.
In your dreams?
No. Exactly where I predicted it would be.
No one will believe you.
I remain silent about several circumstances. Although other seafarers on such voyages of discovery endeavour to pay attention to all details and to profit from them, here the greatest and plainest signs were put out of sight and thrown to the wind. Under these conditions, we reached land 6 weeks after our departure from Siberia, although it could easily have been reached within 3 or 4 days. And it is true that on Thursday, July the 16th, we saw land. Officially speaking, for the first time. We had, of course, already seen land on July the 15th, but because I had announced it, and it was not so visible that it could be clearly delineated, it was, as usual, dismissed as something peculiar to me. But the next day, July the 16th, in very clear weather, it was sighted in the very same spot. Because I have undertaken to adhere to the truth and be impartial in all matters, I cannot but here reflect on a circumstance that in high places might not be concealed and might be interpreted differently than it was in reality.
As long as you are right and everyone knows it.
I am right, but they refuse to recognize this fact.
Well, because you expect them to. Because you insist on it. No one will ever love or respect you for what you can prove, Wilhelm, or what you can discover. No one will care about these things, and you will find yourself alone.
Without me, they would still be lost at sea. Without me, they'd be dead.
Don't expect them to be grateful. They're happy to hate you.
Like you, Brigitte.
It's very satisfying to hate you. More than once, they've talked about throwing you to the sharks. I've overheard them.
You would have encouraged them if you had been here.
But I am here.
I've given the order to man the longboat, sir.
Just for water, Kitroff.
Aye, sir.
So we've come all this way only to take American water back to Russia.
I won't sacrifice my men.
Let me at least gather some samples of plants.
No, I cannot permit you to leave the ship.
I insist on being dropped on the mainland.
This is my work, my duty. I've no other reason for even being here.
You'd be risking your life. There may be hostile natives.
I demand to be put ashore at once. If not, I will report your action to the Russian Senate and to the Admiralty.
On my departure from the ship, Captain Baring attempted to find out if I could take a joke by having trumpets sounded after me. I was at a loss to distinguish between mockery and honesty. Without thanking him, I accepted the affair in the spirit in which it was ordered. But since I have never been one to blow my own horn, I would not have cared for such attentions if they were really intended to honor me.
Gentlemen, it is now nearly August. We are unfamiliar with the country and the wind. I suggest we be content for this year with the discovery we have made and not follow this coast any further. Dr. Stella, be quiet.
I haven't said a word.
It's as if you had. I know your mind and your desire to remain here longer, but we are victims of the Woolly War. Even under the most favorable conditions, we would have only 3 spare weeks to carry out the instructions of the Russian Admiralty and chart the American coast before sailing back to Siberia.
You mean to turn back already? I can't believe it. We've only just arrived. Give me a few more days to explore. There may never be another opportunity.
You are on board this ship as a mineralogist, Stella. And what did you bring back with you today?
Birds.
Birds? Some dead birds. And an accumulation of plants, which take up valuable space on our crowded ship. These birds and plants will still be here when we come back next year.
This makes a mockery of the whole voyage, Captain Baring. Just a few hours in America and then turn back? That's not what we came for.
What we came for is to find out how close we were to North America. The Empire may now claim this land as its own. Let's face the truth. That's what this expedition is all about, Stella. Extending the Russian Empire to the American continent. Now they can send the Cossacks to eliminate the natives, and Russian traders to devastate the land and kill all the animals for their skins.
Then why was I sent on this voyage?
You give it an air of legitimacy. An expedition in the name of science. It will stop the British admirals from asking indiscreet questions. For a time, anyway.
The only reason we did not attempt to stay longer on the American mainland is a sluggish obstinacy, a dull fear of being attacked by a handful of unarmed and still more timid savages, and a cowardly homesickness. So, after months of searching, we turned straight around and headed back to Siberia. The time here spent in investigation bears an arithmetical ratio to the time used in fitting out. 10 years the preparation for this great undertaking lasted, and 10 hours were devoted to the work itself.
It drives you mad, doesn't it? To be always right about everything, but not to have your way. Even strong men couldn't bear such torture, much less a coward like you.
Human beings are not reasonable, Brigitte.
If there is chaos in the world, it's been put there just for you. It had to be invented just for you. Oh, listen to that willow wall. All your life you've been able to hide behind closed doors on dry land. Now you'll have to face madness and disorder.
Even the willow war has to come to rest sometime. Nature insists on it.
Even when it subsides, it will remain inside you for life. You will never be entirely sure of yourself again, Willem. That's what I hope for your sake.
Captain Baring, I'll have to take your pulse now.
Tell me the truth.
I'm a scientist, not a medical doctor.
It's scurvy, isn't it?
A form of scurvy, yes.
How many dead already?
Too many.
Can't you do anything?
What do you expect me to do? From the beginning, the ship's medicine chest has been filled with plasters, ointments, oils, supplies needed for men in battle, but not for a sea voyage where scurvy and asthma are rife. I warned you about this from the outset. And when we were on land, I asked Kitov for a few men to help me gather up as many antiscorbutic plants as possible. And I was told, as usual, that there was no time and that my advice was not needed.
This is no time for righteousness. Have some compassion for once in your life. Give me some water.
Be careful with it. There's not much left. I'll give you some raw scurvy grass to eat from what I managed to gather by myself.
What's it like to be you, Stella? I've often wondered.
How can I possibly answer that?
Most of the men can only think of going home. For myself, I only want to be buried on land. I have a horror of going overboard in my hammock. But you have no desire whatsoever, except to gather specimens.
I have a calling.
Have you no family? No woman waiting for you on land?
I had a wife, but she isn't waiting anymore.
Dead?
Here, take this. No, she walked out on me.
When?
The day after we were married.
Didn't work out.
I don't know. She didn't say. In the morning she was gone. With all my money, my clothes, everything gone. Even rare books I earned, precious books which can never be replaced.
And what do you miss most? The books or her?
How can I miss someone I never knew? We were only engaged a few weeks before we were married. I was hoping she'd come along on this voyage. That way she could know me better, understand my work. Kind of working honeymoon.
Didn't you try to find her after she'd gone?
There was no time. You were expecting me on board. I had to choose.
What are you doing on deck, Stella? Get back down below and lock your cabin door.
I'm looking for my wife.
What wife?
She's somewhere about.
Get down below, Stella.
She's making the rounds of the officers' cabins. She's treating them all for scurvy. And then...
Damn fool!
If you would follow a more southerly course, Fleetmaster Kitrov, you would avoid these headwinds.
There's no one else on deck. No one would miss you if you just went over the rail by accident in the Willow War. Don't tempt me. Get out of my sight.
If you see my wife, Master Kitrov, tell her not to forget to minister to Captain Baring. He's in his hammock waiting for her. You can have her too, Kitrov. Just listen to her screaming in your ears.
Moreover, danger and death suddenly got the upper hand on our ship, to such an extent that not only were the sick dying, but also men claiming to be healthy and being relieved at their posts dropped dead from exhaustion, for which the small portion of water, the lack of biscuit and brandy, the cold, dampness, exposure, vermin, fear, and terror were not the least causes.
Captain Baring.
Speak quietly.
Captain, sir, we are in sight of land. we are running parallel to the Siberian coast.
No, we are not.
You shut up. You are not a navigator. Captain, sir, there are only 6 remaining barrels of water in the hold. The mainmast is unserviceable. The sails are in tatters and half the crew is dead. There are not enough able-bodied men to steer her if we encounter another Willowar. What's he saying? I can't understand.
He's lost all his teeth. He wants to know what you suggest.
That we seek harbour in a bay which is 6 miles to the west.
We still have water. We should steer her back to Archer Bay.
Captain, we've reached the Russian mainland.
No, it's not true.
We can send a party ahead for sleds and dogs to take us back across the land. If this is not Siberia, you can cut off my head.
Why do you, Stella?
Me? I've not been consulted about anything from the start, and my advice will not be taken if it's not what you want to hear. Besides, Lieutenant Waxel says I am no sailor, so I would rather say nothing.
On the 7th of November, I packed up as much of my baggage as I could get together, and because now I clearly saw that our ship could not hold beyond the first severe storm, when it must be driven either into the sea or on shore and broken into pieces, I went ashore. This could not possibly be Siberia. This land was not wide, and accordingly was an island, everywhere surrounded by water.
And how do you know this?
Look at those sea clouds over there, to the south. And that greyish-blue reflection of the ocean. This is an Arctic phenomenon, the water sky. This could only occur if we were surrounded by water.
I would not stake my life on this conclusion, Stella.
There was another reason. As we rowed in, I saw on the beaches a creature I had never seen before. It was first seen by the Spaniards in America and called manatee. The English call it a sea cow. Down to the navel, it is comparable to a land animal. From there to the tail, a fish. Such an animal exists nowhere on the mainland of Siberia.
I don't believe this. My sailor's instinct tells me we are on the mainland, and that we can reach home overland.
Even if you were right, Waxel, and you are not, the winter will be on us in a matter of weeks. We're not equipped to travel overland.
What's your solution?
We erected a small hut near the mouth of the stream where we had noticed deep pits dug into the sandy banks, the burrows of blue foxes. I covered this with my 2 overcoats and an old blanket. We covered the cracks on the sides with dead foxes that we had killed that day and had lying about in heaps. We then went to sleep.
You forgot me on board. I had to swim ashore.
I was hoping you'd drown or go down with the ship.
I was making my rounds of the officers' quarters. They were insatiable. Even during the storm?
I don't want to hear about it.
Of course you do. That's all you want to hear about. That's why you've invited me.
Even before they could be buried, the dead were mutilated by foxes that sniffed at and even dared to attack the sick who were lying on the beaches without cover under the open sky. They even became accustomed to the sight of men. And contrary to habit and nature, they dragged apart all the baggage, ate the leather sacks, scattered the provisions, stole and dragged away from one his boots, from another his socks and trousers.
Let me sleep, Brigida.
Never.
I could kill you with my bare hands.
You couldn't even lift a finger against anyone or anything.
Leave me in peace. I have to try and survive now.
What for?
They never really needed me on this voyage. I've nothing to do with this so-called expedition. But this island is full of natural treasures never seen by European eyes. Birds, fish, mammals which do not exist on the mainland. If I was not permitted to collect on American soil, I intend to get at least one specimen of each of these island creatures to take back with me to the museum in Petersburg. and I won't let anyone stop me. Not Baring, not Kitrov, not even you, Brigitte, with your bad will against me. Otherwise, I've come all this way for nothing. For less than nothing. I've come just to be made a fool of.
Listen to you, so bloated with yourself, Wilhelm. It makes you ill to think you've wasted your time, so you find yourself a purpose. Well, I'll do all I can to see you go under, to see that you fail.
But why? What have I done to you?
You allowed me to leave without coming after me. You allowed me to destroy your life. I can't ever forgive you for that.
They stink much worse than the red foxes. In rutting time, they buck day and night and bite each other cruelly for jealousy. Copulation itself takes place amid much caterwauling, like cats. It also seemed that the more we slew and the oftener we tortured them most cruelly before the eyes of others, letting them run off half-skinned, without eyes, without tails, and with feet half-roasted, the more malicious the others became and the more determined. So that they continued to penetrate our dwellings and dragged away everything they could get to.
This is the fate I wish for you, Wilhelm. A violent death, while still in your youth, womanless, childless, some terrible, crippling disease. To die alone, alcoholic, somewhere in the wastes of Siberia, buried in an unmarked grave, which will one day be dug up by robbers to steal your burial shoes, leaving your corpse in the snow to be torn to pieces and devoured by wild dogs. Chaos.
Kitrov!
Please, let me in.
There isn't enough room in here.
Stella, just a corner. Let me dig myself into a corner. I'm cold.
There are other shelters along the beach, Kitrov.
I can't stay with the ordinary seamen. They blame me for mistreating them on the ship. I'm sure they're planning to kill me in my sleep.
Maybe you deserve their mistrust.
I surely do, whatever you say. But it's too late for all that now.
Why should I accept you into this shelter? You've treated me like a dog all along.
You are a dog. A German dog who serves the Russian crown. Precisely for this reason you are obliged to save my life.
I don't understand.
I don't want you to understand. Just take me in. It's an order. I'm freezing out here.
Kitrov, you are the cause of everything that's gone wrong on this voyage. You steered us away from the land when I told you otherwise. We could have avoided the Willow War. And you're still in good health, unlike most of the others. Go build your own shelter.
They'll still come and kill me if I'm alone. But not if I'm with you. They won't touch me if I'm with you. They need you to cure their scurvy, or they'll die. I'm begging you.
I don't feel charitable today.
All the sick were finally brought ashore. Lieutenant Waxel and Captain Baring, last of all. They were in such terrible shape from scurvy that we all gave up hope for their lives. But we did not fail to rush to their assistance as best we could. We were now all the more interested in their recovery, being fearful that after their deaths, when the command would fall to Fleetmaster Kitrov, by some dreaded calamity, our deliverance from this place could be delayed or not happen at all because of hatred and mistrust.
I'm trying to make you comfortable, Captain. The sand is trickling down from above. Your legs are completely covered. I'm just brushing it off you.
Leave it there. It keeps my legs warm. The rest of me is cold.
Because of the cold, the fluid that had for a long time shown up in a swelling of the feet, and because of the atonic constriction of the joints which was caused by the cold, the internal and external parts of the fluid moved into the abdomen.
What can I do to make you comfortable?
Why should I be comfortable?
We are all waiting for you to give us your orders, Captain.
Live! I order you to live.
I have to tell you that the St. Peter has smashed to pieces on the rocks.
we will never get back to Russia.
Then send a scouting party. You can return by land.
We are on an island, Captain.
Maybe you're wrong. No, that's your problem, Stella. You are always right.
At the same time, a fistula ani manifested itself and, on breaking open, showed a dark discharge as a sign of internal gangrene. This was followed shortly by mortification of the tissues.
Let me comfort him.
Tell me about your wife. I want to die hearing about a woman.
There's nothing to tell. I never knew this person.
But I know you.
Was she beautiful?
That was my opinion.
You must have fond memories of her.
We didn't have any time alone together. One night only.
One night can be a lifetime, if it's the right night.
It wasn't. Two total strangers in a small room. I felt somehow crowded in. More so than on board ship. She must have felt it too. I don't know. I don't even know where she is now.
A beautiful creature in someone else's bed. You're a fool, Stella. Go back and find her. Walk along the mainland till you get to Siberia. Keep walking. Keep walking.
We placed a wooden cross to mark Captain Baring's burial site, which, according to the customs of the Russians in Siberia, is at the same time a sign of a new land made subject to the Russian Empire. We named this island after him.
I don't hide from you men the fact that we have been held up for weeks by the indecision of Captain Baring. Now that I am in command, my priority is to get us out of this place. Since our scouts have returned, finding no trace of human habitation, we are forced to conclude that we are not on the mainland as we had hoped.
And as I had told you from the start,
the St. Peter is no longer seaworthy. My suggestion is we dismantle her and get sufficient timber to build another vessel capable of carrying us all.
The St. Peter is a vessel of the Imperial Navy. We can't just destroy government property without permission.
From whom should we ask permission, Kitrov?
We'll be home for it.
So let's starve to death to avoid hanging. Dr. Stella.
You are asking my opinion.
We are in a desperate situation, Stella. Everyone is permitted to express his opinion.
Even a man with no sailing experience?
Even a fool. Well then, we will build a new boat. Every one of us. Whatever his rank. Whoever doesn't work, doesn't eat. This means you too, Stella.
I have more important matters to attend to.
But more important than getting off this island.
Getting off this island and returning empty-handed to Russia is a dishonor worse than not surviving, Captain Waxel. While you are rebuilding the ship, I will be preparing my flora and fauna specimens for the journey.
You will help build the ship like everyone else.
I am not a navigator, not a crew member, as you never cease telling me. I will continue my own work here to fulfill my mission for the Russian Academy of Sciences.
In that case, Stella, you can feed yourself from your own specimens. Come, Kitrov.
I have something else to say.
We are burning to know your mind, Dr. Stella.
I take pride in the fact that I have cured your scurvy and that no one else will die of it from now on.
We thank you for it, but there is no pride to be found in simply doing what is natural, Dr. Stella.
We have a worse epidemic now, sir.
Have we?
Gambling. Card playing. Day and night, the men stay in their huts and gamble. At first they played for money, but now they gamble for the skins of sea otters. They massacre these poor beasts just for the pelts. They even throw away the meat.
What do you expect us to do about it?
You are the chief officers now. It is for you to impose discipline.
Shipboard discipline is dead, Stella. We officers are hopelessly outnumbered now.
Our best course, and yours, is to avoid being massacred.
Card playing by sailors is strictly forbidden in the Imperial Navy. I can show you the decree.
That decree was issued without any thought of shipwreck on a deserted island. Far from forbidding the men under my command from playing cards, I'm encouraging them to relax and find a remedy for melancholy. If you gave as much thought to these men as to your sea otters, you might understand what I mean.
This island may be named for Bering, but all the natural discoveries of this place have taken the liberty of giving my name. Stella's Sea Eagle can be seen hovering over Stella's Cave. There, in the mountains where I watched its comings and goings for weeks, and even killed one to take back with me.
You killed an animal? Yourself?
My personal Cossack shot it. But I have emptied and stuffed it, and I will present it to the museum in St. Petersburg along with the plants and roots I've gathered.
So, Wilhelm, you have made something of your time here in this desolate place.
At least I have not been gambling at cards like the others.
Do you know how much these men hate you?
I saved their lives. Every one of them. They would never have survived without the herbs I gave them. I treated them as a physician would, although it's not my profession. I nursed them back to health, and they should be grateful for it.
That's why they hate you. Because you want their gratitude. You want to be recognized as the man who saved them. You want history to call them Stella's survivors.
What would you have me do, Brigitte?
Die. Disappear into the sea.
I have work to do before I disappear.
Nothing important.
The discoveries I've made here, the specimens I bring back to Petersburg, will change our thinking about natural history. I'll show you. Mm-hmm. Look. Stella's sea cow. They killed this one for meat, but I managed to reconstruct an entire skeleton. I filled it here with dried grass and replaced the skin. If the Willow War had not driven us to this place, no one would even know it exists.
Or care.
It measures from 28 to 35 feet in length and 25 in girth, weighing up to 4 tons. The eyes of this huge animal, without eyelids, are no larger than sheep's eyes. With its forefeet, it swims ahead, beats the seaweed off the rocks on the bottom, and when lying on its back, it gets ready for the Venus game. One embraces the other with these, as if with arms. They play the Venus game in June with lots of diversionary tactics. The female flees, slowly, ahead of the male with constant detours, and the male pursues her incessantly. But when the female tires of this mock flight and the vain enticements, she lies on her back, and the male...
Why did you refuse to come on this voyage with me, Brigitte?
What should I have done with you here, among all these men?
They say you have been gambling away my possessions in Petersburg.
I have to live somehow. I have no income.
If I manage to survive the return journey, will you take me back?
Take you back? I left you, Wilhelm. Why do you reproach yourself?
They have an extraordinary love for one another, which extends so far that when one of them was cut into, all the others were intent on rescuing it and keeping it from being pulled ashore by closing a circle around it. I also observed that a male, 2 days in a row, came to its dead female on the shore and inquired about its condition.
Take you back. I don't ever want to see or smell you again.
You are still my wife, Brigitte. How can you go on speaking to me in this tone?
What tone? This is the way you choose for me to speak to you, Wilhelm. I'm not speaking for myself here. Not in my own words, but for you in yours. This is how you want me to sound. This is what you obviously need from me. Otherwise, you would not have called me to you. I shouldn't even be here.
Then why are you here? What do you want of me?
Simply to remind you that my annual settlement of 200 rubles has not been received from all this time you've been away. I have been forced to sell your library of natural history books to the pawnbroker.
It isn't possible!
This has been decided by the officers' council. Your weight allowance is limited, Stella. Each man must take only essentials for survival. There is no room in the ship.
These are precious scientific specimens, Kichov. They are for the museum in Petersburg.
There is no room for these things on board.
My stuffed birds, my plants.
No room. You'll have to leave them there.
But you knew all along that I've been collecting them. For months!
You will get no special favors, Stella.
You mean I am to leave these precious historical objects here, while every sailor has the right to return with heavy...
Non-Russian is given the same weight allowance as anyone else.
I demand to speak to Captain Waxel. He'll listen to reason.
I am in charge of loading the ship, Stella. You may come aboard with your personal belongings, nothing else.
This is an outrage against science.
Count yourself lucky. I am not in command of this ship. If I were, you'd be left behind on this island, stuffed along with your birds.
Make an exception. This skeleton of a sea cow is priceless. Oh. It will make us famous throughout Russia. You too, just for helping to bring it back. I have been months in preparing it for the voyage. My whole reason for being here on this wretched voyage in this godforsaken place is contained in this specimen.
One day, when I was cold, you denied me shelter. I will never forget.
You hated me before that, Kitrov. You've always hated me.
You are a foreigner in my country, and you act like you are the master. Now you can learn to beg.
All right. I'm begging you.
Too late.
Chaos.
Chaos.
We pulled away from the deserted camp where we had spent 8 desolate months. We could see the foxes already ransacking our dwellings, devouring any scraps of meat or fat they could find. And I could see them tearing and ripping apart the mounted specimens I was forced to leave behind, including the strange beast called Stella's sea cow. On the evening of the 27th of August, we reached the Siberian mainland. Only to find that everyone had considered us dead or otherwise come to grief. The property we had left behind us in Petropavlovsk had fallen into other hands and been carried off. We had to bear being counted among the dead 8 months longer than necessary.
In Willawar, by David Zane Meyerowitz, Adam Godley was Stella. Ewan Hooper, Captain Baring. Gerard McDermott, Kitrov. Bruce Purchase, Waxel. And Laura Martin Simpson, Brigitte. The director was Jeremy Mortimer.
After the news, Steve Chalk presents the last in the current series of Changing Places.